From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Good evening, I am Paul Edwards from Miami, Florida, and welcome to Tuesday Topics. Let me begin, as I often do, by expressing my appreciation to our producer, Brian Charlson, and to our recorder editor extraordinary, Mr. Steve Bauer, who turns chaos into reality in one short week. Also like to thank George Byes of Talking Community, without whose software this program would not happen. Our topic tonight is an interesting one, and it's interesting because it's one where perhaps there are more options now than there used to be, and that is, how do you get reading done that you need done as a blind person when you can't read print? And our guest this evening from Northern California, Mr. Savitz, has in fact come up with some ideas about how we can deal with that issue. And so over the next little while, we'll have an opportunity to talk with Kevin Savitz about what he's doing, what he's done, and what he proposes to do. To begin with, though, Kevin, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and perhaps a little about what got you interested in this problem, the problem of how people who are blind can get their reading done. And by the way, welcome to Tuesday Topics, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Well, let's see. I, as you said, I live in Northern California, and I run a bunch of websites. My company has something like 40 websites on a lot of different topics, and I try to put up websites that are interesting and useful to consumers and small businesses. And one day when I was brainstorming ideas for websites and services and things, I stumbled into the idea of a site that would have people read something for you. You could send something in and someone would read it to you, kind of a reverse transcription. And I was thinking, well, who would this be useful for? And then the obvious answer was blind people, and that's kind of where the idea for Read This To Me stemmed from. I talked to a blind person I know in the local area and kind of refined the idea with him. And that's where the idea for the reading service powered by the internet began.
So tell us a little bit about some of the other websites that you've got up there, the other 39.
Well, let's see. I have a bunch of websites that offer free printable things, and actually these are things that might not be useful at all for blind people, but for instance, printable stationery or printable business cards, and you could, like, say, download a template and then edit it in Microsoft Word to put in your name. And so if you need a business card really quick on your inkjet printer, I have a fairly popular site called at freeafterrebate.info, and we scrounge up deals that online merchants that end up being free after a mail-in rebate. So, you know, CompUSA might have some antivirus software that you spend $30 for and then mail in for a rebate. So that's a pretty popular site for online cheapskate type people. I have another site called Free Download a Day, and we write about free software for Windows, Macs, and Linux. I have another popular site called Fax Zero that lets you send a fax from your computer to a fax machine anywhere in the United States. There's a list of all of them at savetzpublishing.com, S-A-V-E-T-Z, publishing, list of all 40 sites.
That's actually very cool, though. Now, most of the sites that you're describing are actually don't appear to be huge money makers. So do you actually gain the money that you make off these sites essentially through advertising, or is there some other way that happens?
Primarily, advertising on the sites is how I make money. I usually like to try to give great information or resources available for free or for dirt cheap, and when I can, I let advertising pay the bills. For instance, on the free printable certificate site, there's two versions of each certificate. There's a free one in PDF format that you can download and print. You know, say you need a certificate of appreciation for your Cub Scout leader, you can do that. And then if you pay a small amount, pay $4, you can get an editable version that's in Microsoft Word format, so it's a little more flexible. But there's ads on all the sites, and that's where most of my income comes from.
So now let's focus in on, I've already forgotten the name, Read It To Me. And if you could, give us an idea of exactly how you would propose that site would work.
Certainly. And actually, I can not propose how it will work. I can tell you how it does work, because it's a couple of weeks old and it exists, and it's working today. So the service is called Read This To Me, and it's a free reading service for the blind powered by volunteers on the Internet. And this is how it works. The blind person faxes a document to a toll-free fax number. And on the first page of the fax, they need to put their first name and a voice phone number to call back at. And the document itself can be anything. It could be a handwritten letter. It could be a bill that came in the mail. It could be the back of a food package that maybe you just purchased and you don't know the preparation instructions for. It could be a newspaper article. Just about anything that you can slap onto a fax machine, you fax it to the to this 800 number. Now what happens is that fax gets turned into a file on my web server, and volunteer readers are alerted that there's a document waiting. And they can log into the web server, they can see the documents that are there, and then they can call up the person who sent in the fax and read them the document.
Okay. Number of questions about the process. To start with, the file on your website that your volunteers get to is what kind of document? Is it essentially some sort of a scanned image?
The fax is turned into a PDF file, so it's essentially a scan, a picture of the document that was faxed, yes.
And it's saved as a PDF file. What if a blind person does not have access to a fax machine? Is there anything he or she can do?
Well, you know, I wanted to keep the barrier to entry to use the service low. I wanted it to be really simple and as cheap as possible. As you know, I mean, although there's a website at readthistome.org, you don't need a computer to use the service. All you need is a phone line and a fax machine. So if you don't have a fax machine, actually, you know, several potential users have told me that they're going to get one because this service is useful enough to them that they're going to run out and buy one. In the long term, I would really like to try to partner with a fax machine manufacturer or a foundation or something to give fax machines to people who can't afford one but who need to use the service. So, but my answer for now is, if this is something that might be useful to you, you need to get one, and maybe you could find one. I mean, I've seen them very, very cheap at thrift stores and like that, so what you need is a fax machine.
Yeah, and you can get kind of combination devices too, though blind people don't tend to buy those as often because they tend to utilize standalone scanners. So we will assume that a person has acquired a fax machine and has sent off documents to you, and you have turned that into a PDF file. It's now sitting on the website waiting for a volunteer to grab it. And then the volunteer is going to call on his or her dime to the blind folks, or would they want to do it collect, or how would you do that?
Yes, the volunteer, they're very generous. They agree not only to donate their time, they're donating the call. They pay for the call, which, you know, really, long distance calling is not that expensive anymore. Many of us have mobile phones that give us a gazillion minutes that we're never going to use. And some of the volunteers are using Skype, which allows them to call anywhere in the United States for 2 cents a minute. So the volunteers do pay for the call.
Does the volunteer sign anything or go through any kind of testing, component before you accept that individual? I guess I've got this vision of con artists lurking in the background just waiting for some relatively poor blind guy to send in something to be read that has all of his bank account information on it and all of his credit card information on it, which the volunteer could then take advantage of.
That is absolutely a valid concern. There's really not much that I can do to vet volunteers. I ask them to, you know, promise that the information that they read and see will remain confidential. I tell them that it may contain private information and that it behooves them to keep it in strictest confidence. However, I also tell the blind people who use the service not to fax in anything that may contain confidential information. Protect themselves. So I would not recommend faxing in something that may contain your social security number or credit card number, just to be on the safe side. A blind person pointed out to me that anyone who was in your house reading to you could potentially write down the information and sneak off with it. And so it's a problem that could happen, of course, anywhere. So I would say if you don't know what's on a page, I would recommend not faxing it in if you thought it had something potentially private on it.
Of course, part of the issue, especially in an all-blind household, and there are lots of them, is you get stuff in the mail, you have no idea what it is. You want to find out, you know, relatively poor, you don't have the ability to have the computers, so you've got a fax machine. And I think what's often going to happen in a situation like that is folks are just going to, in effect, probably take the risk because they're not going to know what the stuff actually is. So it's an interesting conundrum. I'm not sure there's an obvious answer, but maybe someone, as we discuss it a little bit later on, will be able to come up with some solutions. What about a person who may in fact have a computer nevertheless may want the reinforcement of having a document read or of perhaps seeing it another way? Have you given any thought to creating some computer interfaces that would allow, for example, a blind person to go onto your site and acquire the PDF file and download it instead of the telephone approach?
That's the first time that suggestion has been made, actually. People have made the suggestion that computer users might want to email in a file and have it read to them, but not that they just want to see a PDF back of the document. Would that be to use on a screen magnifier or something like that, for instance?
Yeah. A low vision user could do that. The other thing that you could sort of do, but it's unclear to me whether it would actually be very much more helpful, is if you have... there are a number of pieces of software out there that will actually recognize PDF files. so that what you end up with is then editable text. But it's going to have all the errors that might be generated by a fax and by inappropriate picture technology. And part of the issue, of course, is if you start off with a scanned document, or if you've got the ability to deal with a scanned document, then why not just scan it or do something with it rather than faxing it off? And I guess my answer to that would be the only advantage might lie in perhaps volunteers being prepared to work to clean up files. And I don't know if they would be interested in doing that.
I don't know. I think one of the big advantages to read this to me is that it is a human on the other end. And as you know, if you're using text-to-speech software, it can make mistakes. Of course, people can make mistakes, but it can have problems with certain types of text. If you want to know how much to pay of a phone bill, a person can say, oh, well, the bill, it's for $17. And while a electronic reader will have to want to read every part of the page and tell you way more information than you need. So I think the human aspect is the advantage here. The other thing is this service is about 3 weeks old, and I wanted to start it simply and get the basic service up and really see what the community wanted of it. And if a bunch of people start making the suggestions like you have, then I can certainly look into that. But I wanted to keep it simple and make it available without trying to add a whole lot of crufty features to it.
And in the first 3 weeks, have you had some pretty promising responses that you're filling a niche?
Definitely. People have told me that the service is a godsend, that they've been waiting for a long time for someone to create something like this, and many people just seem very, very happy that I've done this. However, in that 3 weeks, we haven't actually read that many documents yet. I'm still been working hard to get the word out to the blind community, and that's happening. So we've read a couple of dozen documents in the 3 weeks since we launched the service. So I think that it seems that there's definitely a niche to be filled, and it's hard to say how popular the service will become, but it's there for the people who need it. And my job at this point is just getting the word out so the people who should know about it do know about it.
So let's do a little bit of that. The website then is www.readthistome.com, yes?
.org. The .com was taken, so I went with .org.
Okay, so readthistome.org, readthistome.org.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you're listening to Tuesday Topics. Once again, your host, Paul Edwards.
Let's go ahead and open it up and see what other questions folks might have for Kevin or whatever thoughts people might have.
Might as well start with Brian in Boston. A couple of ideas come to mind. After I first read the first piece that kind of went around the blindness websites or blindness lists earlier this week and late last week, I've been trying to figure out ways that I can get in on this, so to speak, because I have a PC and I have a scanner. I normally simply scan things and let Kurzweil, one of the two most popular scanning products for blind and visually impaired people, do the work for me. But there are times when the document that I'm putting on the scanner is of such a nature that the scan is going to be horrible. For example, when something is handwritten or heavily formatted in such a way that the scanning process, decolumnizing, etc., turns the end result into a long string of characters that are virtually meaningless to me. So I could see a value to it for me. And in Kurzweil, there is a choice to take the image that you've scanned and instead of doing OCR to it, send it as a fax. Do you see any reason why I couldn't send something to your fax machine from my scanner?
No, that should absolutely work.
follow up on the same thing. And this service that you have, one of your other websites, where people can fax something to anywhere, I assume that the original side of that equation is not a fax machine, but a PC. Is that right?
That's right. That service is at faxzero.com, and you can fax a Microsoft Word file or a PDF. So if you wanted to interface that with Read This To Me, it's kind of a backwards way of doing it, but you could scan something, turn it into a PDF, and then go to faxzero.com and fax it to Read This To Me, and then a volunteer would call you. And that's probably not the most elegant way to do it, but it could work.
Hi there, this is Brent here. I was going to pretty much ask the same sort of thing, but I know you mentioned the Fax Zero thing, because my situation is that for my telephone service, I use a cable telephone, and they say they don't support faxing, but I have a scanner, and oftentimes I get stuff, newsletters and stuff, that don't scan particularly well, and you know, I would like to send them through the service to be able to have somebody read it to me. So I guess the Fax Zero thing might be the best way if I can figure out how to make Kurzweil turn it into a PDF file.
That should work. The limitation on the Fax Zero site is that to send a fax for free, the faxes are limited to 3 pages. So it would have to be a shorter PDF file. On the Fax Zero site, if you spend $1.99, then you can send a fax up to 15 pages. And you know, I'm doing that so that people who want to send longer faxes have to help defray the cost of that. Anyway, so if you want to use Fax Zero with Read This To Me, you're going to have documents of 3 pages or shorter. Now, for people with computers, this question has come up enough that I think what I'm going to have to do is just set up an email address, so you might be able to send your PDF file as an attachment to an email, and that it would get to the volunteers the same way. And that way, I think you wouldn't have to deal with the faxing at all. It would just accept any PDF file. And that's not something that's working yet, but I've had enough people ask for that I think that would be a popular addition.
I'm Sue Ellen in Stuart, Florida, and my question is, what is the turnaround time between when something is faxed in and when the person would get a call back as far as getting it read to them?
Hi, Sue Ellen. That's a great question. We are aiming for turnaround times of less than 2 hours. So far, generally, turnaround times have been under an hour. Often, it's been about 10 minutes or so. And we have the rule about calling back is this. We call between 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. in your time zone. So if a blind person sends in a fax and they're in Colorado, we can tell based on the area code what time zone they're in. So we'll only call you between 8 and 9. However, there's an exception to that rule, and that's the one-hour rule, and that is if a volunteer is available and willing to call you back within 1 hour of receiving the fax, they can do it no matter what time it is. So if you send a fax in at 2 in the morning your time, if someone is available to call you back by 3, they will, and if not, then you won't hear from us until 8 in the morning.
At the moment, is the service limited just to the United States or the U.S. and Canada, or what are the geographical limitations of the service?
Officially, I'm saying United States. It actually may work in Canada. I've asked a couple of people in Canada, emailed me and said, does it work in Canada? And I said, I think so. I don't know. And they never got back to me and told me. So if it works in Canada, you know, Hail Canada, they're welcome to use it as well. U.S. definitely, Canada maybe. As for the rest of the world, I would like to find organizations in other countries that want to do something similar, and I will give them the software and let them do this, because if people find this useful, I mean, this is certainly something that could, a service, similar services could be set up all around the world.
Are you looking at English as the only language that you support, or has there been some discussion about perhaps enabling, say, Spanish, which is pretty common in the U.S. now, and potentially perhaps Creole or French?
Several of the volunteers do speak other languages. That's one of the questions that I ask in the volunteer application form is, what languages do you read and speak fluently? And I put on the list the most common languages in the United States, English, Spanish, Chinese languages, French, German, Tagalog, Vietnamese, and Italian. And several of our volunteers do speak some other languages. So I believe that we should be able to handle, you know, the Spanish and French at this point. It will probably take longer because, you know, a volunteer who speaks that language has to happen by and check the site. But you know, at this point, every fax that we've received so far is in English. But going forward, I think that we should be able to handle other languages with some elegance.
If I send you a fax that is a color image of some kind, do you receive it in color, and can they describe it in color?
No, unfortunately, it's converted to grayscale.
You mentioned that you ask about language skills. Do you ask about any other skills on the part of your volunteer readers?
No, skills include being able to read and being able to speak and being able to, willing to make long-distance calls to anywhere in the United States. What other skills do you have in mind?
One of the things I could see wanting somebody to read to me rather than scanning is material that's in spreadsheet format, if you will, that requires some interpretation of what's there by the reader. Again, scanning a spreadsheet is nowhere near as effective as having one read aloud to you and being able to do a, you know, Q&A between the reader and yourself for specific information. But it does come in handy if the person at the other end is familiar with spreadsheets.
Agreed. And I think that would be another thing that could be handled by being able to email files in. You could email in a spreadsheet or something like that and putting it on the to-do possibility list right now.
Actually, I'll sort of tack on to what Brian said. It seems to me that one of the things that I probably might have been tempted in the past to send in, and might even be now, are very boring things, on at least at the outset, but they are essentially figures, whether it might be a report of the performance of mutual funds, whether it might be a discussion of how a particular stock is doing. Bottom line is, often those materials will contain two things that are very difficult for blind folks to deal with. One of them is tables, and it's not that a blind person can't deal with tables, and it's because actually tables and computers are doing a little bit better now, but it's that it isn't always as nearly as quick or nearly as easy for a blind person to deal with a table as it is then when interfacing with a human being. And of course, the other kind of information that's very difficult to communicate are graphs. And those are becoming more and more common with regard to stock performances. So I'm assuming that people would at least take a stab at dealing with documents that contained both tables and graphs.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the volunteer readers are there to help you digest that document in any way that they can. The other day, actually, I read a document, talk about boring documents. I read a 15-page legal brief that had something to do with the internet taxation, and it was dull, and it contained tables, and you know, although actually in that case the client didn't want to hear about the table, but you know, absolutely, you could say, you know, if someone wanted to know, okay, what are the three biggest numbers on the graph, or you know, what are the most populous, you know, areas on the map, or whatever. The volunteer reader is there to help you interpret that information. So hopefully, you know, if they are doing their job, then they will be able to help interpret charts and graphs and maps and that sort of thing.
Let's broaden the discussion a little bit. and ask people for other thoughts that they may have of ways that that Kevin's site might be of benefit. What are some other things that blind or visually impaired folks might want to get read that's difficult for us to handle at this point?
I would think that sometimes kids or young people in college or whatever might like to have things like their syllabi or their worksheets or, you know, because I know a lot of times now teachers are in the habit of doing handouts, and I know this is not the good old days when itinerant teachers came once a week to get your work into Braille for you. And it would be a good way for kids, I would think, to be able to look at their assignments in a more timely manner.
I'm learning to play the ukulele. Okay, everybody stop laughing, but I am learning to play the ukulele, and I'm really limited on what kind of materials available to me in any format on how to do that, since the fingering charts show fingertips or rather circles on strings on frets to do different activities. It'd really be helpful to know that there are readers out there who some could read sheet music and others who were at least moderately conversant in tablature, as it's called, with stringed instruments.
Let me talk to that for a second. I think that, well, first of all, on the back end website that that volunteers have, they can preview a document before they agree to read it, and so they can look at the PDF and see what's there, and then once they want to do it, they check it out so that it disappears from other people's lists of waiting documents. So if someone had no interest in music or couldn't, you know, doesn't know a C note from a B flat, then they might probably skip that document. Or if someone called you up and you became clear to them that they couldn't read music, you could say to them, you know, thank you for calling, but can you check this document back in and maybe I can find a volunteer who can read music a little bit. And then they can put it back into the system, and they can even attach a note to that saying, you know, please don't, you know, please someone who can read music can call back. And I can't guarantee that there'll be a volunteer who can read music, but there's a chance. So, you know, we'll do what we can. I'm sure there's a million different examples. You know, I need someone who can read Latin phrases for, you know, a legal document or something like that. And, you know, probably won't be able to help in every situation, but hopefully we'll be able to help in some or most.
Hello, this is Gary Wood from Lansing, Michigan. I would think probably one thing that, that your site could do would be read anything that if someone didn't have a scanner, it might be useful to read for somebody a periodical that they might receive one monthly or that's in print, that's not in audible audio format or Braille format. That's one suggestion I suppose I could make.
That's a great idea. You could absolutely fax in a periodical. That was the original idea for the site, and it grew from that. And honestly, I think it might be possible just to send in a one-page fax saying, if someone wants to, who has the November issue of Money Magazine, can they call me and read me the articles? And then you wouldn't have to, you know, fax the entire magazine. You could give that a try.
Good evening. Dave McElroy here, and I have a brief comment. First of all, I've read about the service, and it sounds very, very good. It sounds great. Some of us out there in the in computer land are fortunate enough to have toll-free long distance and would certainly be willing to make the phone call to the volunteer. Is there any way that we could make that happen so that your volunteers don't end up on a dime when they don't really need to be?
I don't know, Kevin, if you have any comments on the issues that Dave McElroy raised.
I can't think of a way off the top of my head that could happen, because once a volunteer agrees to take a document, there's no way for you to know who to call. I suppose they could call you and say, I'm going to read your document, and you could offer to call them back if you wanted to. That's not the most elegant way, but that's actually the only way I could think of right now.
Yes, this is Brent here, and not only that, even if there was, you know, that way of doing it, then it becomes, you know, giving out more information that then the volunteer has to give you their phone number and, you know, stuff like that. You know, that opens up its own problems potentially, because obviously if you're faxing a document, there's not any email address or any other means besides them calling you. So once they call you, they might as well read it.
I was actually surprised, Kevin, when you said that somebody could actually fax in a whole periodical, or could even send in a fax such as the one you're talking about. You know, some periodicals can be pretty lengthy, 6, 7, 8 hours. So I guess my question is there a limitation that you guys are looking at devising in terms of the amount or the time factor or the number of pages or something that would limit a volunteer from having to read for 4 or 5 hours?
Well, yeah, I think I may have overstated it before. When I said you could fax in an entire magazine, I guess you could, although I would not recommend it at all. The official recommendation is I would say I wouldn't go over 10 pages in a document, and if you had a longer document, you might want to break it up into several faxes over a period of time. And the reason is this. A volunteer is not likely to take a document that's going to take a long time to read. A lot of the volunteers are doing this because they can, you know, genuinely help someone in a few minutes of spare time in their day. They can take 5 or 10 minutes and make a phone call and help a blind person read something. They might not want to read. If there's a 20 or 30 page document in the system, you might be wondering, why is no one calling me back? Well, people are they looking at your document, they're seeing that it's long, and they're skipping over it. So I hope that answers the question, that, you know, you can have long documents read, but I would break them up into shorter pieces.
What kind of information, Kevin, do you want on the fax cover page? And could we make requests on that page? So I might say, for example, I'm going to post it on the page, but I'm going to ask, I'll say on the cover page, that this document is music, or this document requires this, that, or the other skill, to make it easier on the volunteer to select something without having to browse through it to figure out whether or not it's within their capacity. And just in the same way, if a volunteer reader agrees with somebody that they've read for, that they'd like to continue reading for that individual, if you find somebody who's really good at something, you know, you kind of want to be honest with you guys. I get a good reader, and it's like gold when you get them. So if you can develop a personal relationship, and I don't mean a harassment type one by any means, but I'm just saying, if you get along well, you say, well, I'm going to be wanting some more books like this one. Do you mind if I put on the cover page Charlie requested, or something along those lines? Do they see those cover pages as part of their review of a document before they commit to it?
So the official information you need to put on your cover page is your first name and your callback voice phone number. And you can use the same phone line that you're sending faxes from. You just need to make sure that the auto-answer functionality of the fax is off, so that they get you and not your machine. On top of that, absolutely, if you want to make a request, you can put it on the cover page, and the volunteers will read it and will do their best to follow it. You know, if you said, I need someone who knows how to read music, then that's straightforward. If you said, you know, I only want Bob, if possible, to call me back, that's fine too. If you want to strike up a personal reading relationship with a reader, that's fine. The only thing I would suggest is that if you only want Bob to read to you, he's going to probably, you want to maybe arrange with him that, you know, you're going to fax in things on Friday afternoons or something like that, because once something's in the system, all of the volunteers are alerted either via email or via the RSS feed. So if Bob doesn't know to look for something for you, it's just going to sit there and languish in the system for quite a while. Right now, there are 15 volunteer readers in the system, so it's not that diverse a group. the only reason there aren't more is that there isn't a need for more. Right now, the volume of documents is low enough that 15 is plenty. I have 100 more volunteer applications in my email box that I need to look at. And once we start getting a good volume of faxes coming in, I will bring in more volunteers. And at that point, there will be more diversity in the skills and abilities of those people. So there may, in fact, be someone who knows how to read a knitting pattern and someone who knows how to finger a ukulele and that sort of thing.
Kevin, you just said that you're looking over the applications for volunteers. How much of this whole process is automated and how much requires intervention on your part?
At this point, the volunteer application process is all manual and it's all done by me, and I need to find a volunteer coordinator to handle that. But like I said, right now the volume is low enough that it's not really that big of a stretch. Aside from after the volunteers are in the system, it all happens magically without without any work from me. You send a fax to the system, it's converted to a PDF, it goes to the server. The volunteers who want to be alerted via email are alerted via email. The volunteers that want to know by an RSS feed get the alert that way. That, there are currently 4 documents waiting to be read, for instance. The ones that have time and interest log into the website. They see if, what documents are available, and then they check it out and do it. So after the volunteers are in the system, as from the client's perspective, it's there's not a lot of lag time. They can get a call back from a volunteer in just 5 or 10 minutes. If someone's available at the time.
It occurs to me, by the way, that a volunteer coordinator job is actually a job that a blind person could do, and it would be interesting to know whether you might actually find some blind volunteers who might be prepared to act as volunteer screeners and volunteer coordinators in order to make the site go.
I would love that. Anyone who has time and is interested is welcome to contact me. As long as I'm mentioning contacting me, I'll give the information. I can be reached at info@readthistome.org. There's also there's 2 other ways to get information about the site if you're telling a fellow blind person about it. If you have a computer, you can go to readthistome.org. And there's also a phone number that has an audio version of all the information on the website. And that phone number is toll-free. It's 1-877-333-8847. And I guess as long as I'm giving out phone numbers, I'll give out the fax number too, because if you've listened this far, you know everything you need to know to actually use the service. It's just 1 digit off, but the fax number is 1-877-333-8848.
Well, this is Brian again, and Kevin and I had a little discussion about the possibility of those of us who have cell phones with cameras in them might attempt to do some things mobily. I can see myself, for example, I've got a new smoker, and believe me, I would have challenged any of your volunteer readers to help me go through the assembly guide for this smoker. I had a sighted friend to attempt to assist me, and it was an all-day kind of event trying to do it. But short of that, there are times when there's a gauge or something I would like to read, and I could see myself using my cell phone, taking a quick picture of it, coming up and sending it off for somebody to tell me what it says, such as the temperature gauge on my smoker. Is that odd enough for you?
That's pretty odd. The other previous example, people have mentioned cell phone with cameras. That's come up actually a few times in the conversations I've had. People wanted to know, I'm in a department store, and is this shirt, blue or is it gray? And reading meters and those are absolutely good uses, I think, for camera phones. And I guess I hope that could also be answered by adding the ability to email files, because I think that my cell phone is a phone. It doesn't take pictures. It doesn't do anything else. It's very low tech. But I think once you take a picture, you could email it. So I guess you could email it to the service, and someone could call you back and tell you what the temperature on your smoker is, or whether that shirt was went with those pants.
Yeah, I was also thinking of things like some of the fanzines or special interest type newsletters that are not necessarily available in accessible format and full of print, things like your sports team newsletters with all the pictures and stuff of the championship victories or the big to-dos on the field or whatever, things like that.
Again, really good ideas. I think that we've spent a lot of time talking about ideas. Does anyone have any major concerns that they'd like to share with Kevin? Is there something that's innately wrong with the system or something that Kevin really needs to know in terms of something that might be a kind of a make or break for the system or just something generally perhaps negative about the whole process that you'd like to share?
Well, Kevin, this is Gary Wood again. The way that you read this to people, is that by telephone or something like that, or is maybe a better way, if there was a way to, if someone gave you the information, you could download the file and people, I mean, you could upload the file and then we could download it or something like that?
Well, I tried to keep it really low tech so that you actually don't need a computer to use this. You just need a phone line and a cheap fax machine. So you send us a fax, and then someone calls you back and reads it to you. At this point, there's no uploading or downloading involved whatsoever. The volunteer needs a computer, but the blind person doesn't.
Another idea here. Because of the confidentiality-related issues, I can see myself saying, well, I want to use this service, and I trust a family member to read that to me, but my family member's on the other side of the country, and they're not here to be my support system here. I can convince my family member to be a reader for the system, and I can send something to the system and have it done in such a way that you'd have to know the password, if you will, to anything faxed in by a certain number. I know that this is software that you'd have to create at your end, but when we were talking about ways around the confidentiality issue, I can see myself securing some readers who I trust and who I would give my code to log on to the system and read my material back to me. See, that is a doable thing in any time in the future.
Oh, that's a really interesting idea. Yeah, because normally if you send something and you want a family member to read it, any volunteer could snag it. But if it was a password-protected thing, and we could tell based on the caller ID information that faxes, every fax from a certain phone number has a password. That's interesting. That's going on the list. I think that could be a solution, a partial solution to the privacy problem. Thank you.
Is there something intrinsic in the process that makes it grayscale, or is that definable at your end? And what would make the difference between allowing it and not allowing it, assuming that it's technically possible?
Color faxes do exist. There is a protocol for it. However, the fax service that I'm using on the back end, it's the company that has the 800 number that receives the fax, that converts it to PDF and sends it to my server, they only do the grayscale protocol. In fact, I think it's actually black and white. I'm not sure if it's black and white or grayscale. Sometimes it's not pretty, but it's definitely not color. And I've tested quite a number of fax services, and none that I am aware of do color faxing. But frankly, even if they were, I wouldn't rush to change the service that I'm using on the back end because I wouldn't want to break something. So, like I said, although there are color fax machines, it's relatively rare that people actually send color faxes, and few of the internet services support it.
Well, one of the possibilities, again, because we're talking about email as a possibility as well, if I send you a picture, an email picture in color, can you post it on the website as something for somebody to describe to me, and would it in that case be rendered in color?
Yes, it would.
I'm only harping on this issue because so much of my cables and dealing with my technology these days, what cable you plug into what place is color coded. I think that's close to the only absolute, you got to know the colors if you're going to have a prayer. I just hooked up at one of those multiple speaker setups here in my home office, and everything, but everything was color-coded. And even the manual said, plug the blue cord into the blue outlet, which didn't do me any good because it didn't say geographically where that blue outlet was.
Another quick example is one of the frustrations that I and perhaps many others feel is we've acquired a cell phone and can pretty easily find the manual online either as a PDF file or in the case of Verizon, in the case of the latest phone, two very large Braille volumes of actual information. The trouble is that that information never includes what the icons in the text look like, and therefore one of the things that I would love to have been able to do was to find the pages in the phone thing that listed what the icons looked like and then sent them back so that they could be described, so that even if I couldn't do anything else, I could find somebody who could take a look at my icons and know perhaps what was going wrong.
I have been listening to this from a distance. We're eating dinner, and I have to say I really am concerned about the things we're asking for. People, this is a volunteer service. You want the moon, you know, pay for it. These people are giving up their time, potentially their dollars, to read. You know, I guess when I first saw this, I thought, you know, what a great thing for things. Like, we had a subpoena in this house the other day, and we couldn't read it. Nobody could read it. Things like that would be, you know, to me, is this what kind of services? But, I mean, you guys seem to want people to read the Santa Monica telephone directory. And, you know, Brian, I'm sorry, we have to use cable. You know, nobody's going to be able to look in your house and find out where your colors are. I absolutely do not believe that you people are asking these kind of things of this man. And I'm ashamed. I'm truly, truly ashamed.
Okay, I'm going to hold my temper down, David. You and I will have to discuss this offline, but I think that that last tirade of yours was way overboard for this evening. I arranged for this gentleman to come speak to us. He and I have had a conversation about things. We were talking about how this kind of service could expand over time. We were thinking aloud on what kinds of things it would be nice to have sight around the house to do, not attempting to try to get him to read the Santa Monica phone book or anything like that. They were things for which sight has no parallel. And I'm quite honestly very offended by your reaction to all of this. I'd like to suggest you go back to your supper and let the rest of us have a civil conversation.
Well, there's probably some things that we probably would like people to read, but they probably can't read. But I think it sounds like a good service that he wants to provide for everybody. It may not be something that everybody may want to take advantage of, but it's good for those folks who may need something like that in the future.
There's another thought, and David may not like this one either, but one of the things that's always been an issue for me is when you acquire things from the drugstore, like prescriptions, there are often little documents that come with those prescriptions, and those are almost always written in really tiny print, which effectively means that most of the time your scanners just will not do a good job of scanning them, and that would certainly be the kind of thing that I think might be appropriate in terms of faxing in. Mr. Kevin, it has been a pleasure having you on our program, and let me give you the opportunity perhaps to make a few final comments if you'd like to. It's certainly been a pleasure for us to have you here, and your responses to our questions have been more than generous and I think extremely appropriate. So let me thank you very much for being a part of Tuesday Topics and give you a chance to perhaps make some final comments or offer some final thoughts on this whole process, if you would, sir.
Sure. Thanks, Paul. First of all, I want to say, Dave, you know, I appreciate your comments, and I just, you know, this service, it's just something that I'm trying to do some good in the world. It's an idea I had. Frankly, I was stunned. I was just flabbergasted that something like this didn't already exist. And I guess in my research I found that it's been attempted a couple of times and here and there. But today it wasn't there. So it's something that was in my realm of possibility to make happen. And I thought, you know what, I'll do it. If I can help some people, then great. You know, then I'd put some good out there in the world. This service isn't going to be everything to everyone. I absolutely have been asking people for ideas for things that we can do better, and maybe it will be taking pictures from cell phones so that we can tell the color of the speaker wire, or whether the smoker is hot enough to use. Maybe I'll never get around to doing that, but I wanted to create something that would be useful to blind people. So there it is, and I hope that it's useful to you, and if not, maybe you could tell someone else about it. If you don't mind, Paul, I'm going to give out the information one more time. The toll-free number for information on how to use the service is 877-333-8847. The fax number is 877-333-8848, and the website is www.readthistome.org. And if anyone wants to contact me, they can email me at info@readthistome.org. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to talk with you all, and just thank you very much.
Well, I think that everyone who has participated tonight will attest to your openness to looking at new ideas and new approaches, Kevin. And I think everyone also will recognize that no one at this early stage in the evolution of this service can know what direction it may ultimately take. It may well turn out that there are some things that this service doesn't do well, some of the things perhaps that the service thought it would be able to do well, and it may well turn out au contraire, that there are lots of services that it will do wonderfully well at that looked at least potentially tough right from the beginning. Bottom line is, it's a great new service that's out there, and it's a service that each of us ought to take a look at. Again, readthistome.org is where you would find some information, and I would urge everyone to start there and take a look at this new and exciting approach to getting access to information that right now you don't have. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this evening's Tuesday Topics. Appreciate your participation. And once more, ladies and gentlemen, on ACB Radio, we prove that sometimes listening is better than reading. Good night.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday, 1 hour Universal Time. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each show begins, those online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room service and how it works. An announcement promoting the topic to be discussed will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List early each week. So we hope you will come and join us Tuesday each week when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. Again, the URL is ourplace.acbradio.org.